even finds it hard to believe Galileo when he tells us that a cannonball and a feather, given no air friction, would hit the ground at the same instant when dropped from a leaning tower. That is because in Middle World, air friction is always there. If we had evolved in a vacuum, we would expect a feather and a cannonball to hit the ground simultaneously. We are evolved denizens of Middle World, and that limits what we are capable of imagining. The narrow window of our burqa permits us, unless we are especially gifted or peculiarly well-educated, to see only Middle World. There is a sense in which we animals have to survive not just in Middle World, but in the micro world of atoms and electrons too. The very nerve impulses with which we do our thinking and our imagining depend upon activities in micro world. But no action that our wild ancestors ever had to perform, no decision that they ever had to take, would have been assisted by an understanding of micro world. If we were bacteria, constantly buffeted by thermal movements of molecules, it would be different. But we middle worlders are too cumbersomely massive to notice Brownian motion. Similarly, our lives are dominated by gravity, but are almost oblivious to the delicate force of surface tension. A small insect would reverse that priority and would find surface tension anything but delicate.
Steve Grand in Creation, Life and How to Make It is almost scathing about our preoccupation with matter itself. We have this tendency to think that only solid material things are really things at all. Waves of electromagnetic fluctuation in a vacuum seem unreal. Victorians thought that waves had to be waves in some material medium. No such medium was known, so they invented one and named it the luminiferous ether. But we find real matter comfortable to our understanding only because our ancestors evolved to survive in Middle World, where matter is a useful construct. On the other hand, even we Middle Worlders can see that a whirlpool is a thing, with something like the reality of a rock, even though the matter in the whirlpool is constantly changing. In a desert plain in Tanzania, in the shadow of Oldonyo Lengai, sacred volcano of the Maasai, there is a large dune made of ash from an eruption in 1969. It is carved into shape by the wind. But the beautiful thing is that it moves bodily. It is what is technically known as a barkhane. The entire dune walks across the desert in a westerly direction at a speed of about 17 meters per year. It retains its crescent shape and creeps along in the direction of the horns. The wind blows sand up the shallower slope. Then, as each sand grain hits the top of the ridge, it cascades down the steeper slope on the inside of the crescent. Actually, even a barkhane is more of a thing than a wave. A wave seems to move horizontally across the open sea, but the molecules of water move vertically. Similarly, sound waves may travel from speaker to listener, but molecules of air don't. That would be a wind, not a sound. Steve Grand points out that you and I are more like waves than permanent things. He invites his reader to think
of an experience from your childhood, something you remember clearly, something you can see, feel, maybe even smell, as if you were really there. After all, you really were there at the time, weren't you? How else would you remember it? But here is the bombshell. You weren't there. Not a single atom that is in your body today was there when that event took place. Matter flows from place to place and momentarily comes together to be you. Whatever you are, therefore, you are not the stuff of which you are made. If that doesn't make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, read it again until it does.